Welcome to the Drive Time Pod. It's a show where white bitches talk about whatever the fuck we want because it's our show and not yours. Get over it. My name is Mariah.
I'm Corey.
And I'm Sarah.
And this week we're talking about something near and dear to at least Sarah's heart, but for sure everybody else's, souls maybe? I don't know. We're talking about Jane Austen this week.
Jane.
Yay! Everyone's favorite. So what is everyone drinking?
I'm drinking lemonade.
Ooh.
Switching it up.
Let me guess, Corey. Why?
Whiskey.
Was the other W?
I actually need to go buy more wine. So that'll be next week.
Wow. Exciting. I'm drinking very flat cherry cola. C-O-L-A cola.
You know what would make that more fun?
Whiskey?
Whiskey.
Listen. I have a full day of teaching tomorrow.
I know.
No thanks.
And?
You try and teach a little bit hungover.
No.
Get back.
Oh, you just need some more tolerance. There's no hungover happening. No. I don't believe you. And Jane Austen.
No, absolutely. Like maybe that's true, but also whiskey is gross. Anyway, moving on, Jane Austen.
Disagree.
Sarah, why this lady?
Why
this author?
Why? Just, why not?
Dígame. I mean, yeah, I guess. See, like, for me, all I know about Jane Austen is, like, 18th century, Regency era, high-waisted dresses, Mr. Darcy. Like,
that's, I mean, great. Great foundational knowledge.
Great.
Very foundational. So proud.
Yeah. So.
I see your shade coming out. I may be an unread swine.
But there are so many movies. You don't have to read.
Exactly. And the people are so pretty.
They're always so pretty.
This is,
I
would say most of the time I'm like, read the book, don't watch the movie, or read the book, it's always going to be better. Jane Austen is one of those. I'm like, you read the book, you watch the movie, you do both, you do one of them. Great. Because most of the time the movies portray it, like everything. These aren't long novels where things are getting skipped over, really. And so I feel like whatever you do, as long as you're doing something.
Right.
It's good. Not knowing anything about Jane Austen, like not even knowing that it's Pride and Prejudice, like that I would slightly be cause for concern and reevaluate our friendship. But I feel like that's one of like the first things when meeting people for me, you know, like that's where you're not going to get too far.
If you don't even know who she is,
you know,
that's true.
Like,
that's true.
Who's Mr. Darcy? Excuse me. If I feel like everyone does, especially now that the new Pride and Prejudice is on Netflix, it like caused a revolution, man.
I know.
Do 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 do. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Do do do
yeah.
Do 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 do.
Just gonna let you keep going.
I know. How long can we do this? An hour of podcasting.
Seriously, I know this is about the books and the stories and stuff, but I love that movie. And
no, it's so great.
I love that soundtrack.
Right.
Anyway,
yeah.
Sarah, get us back on track. What are we talking about?
So we're talking about Jane Austen, and I figured we'd just start with who is she. And she's a white lady from the 18th century.
Our favorite.
So it fits in perfectly with our, you know, MO, who we are.
Uh-huh. She was just a white lady talking about whatever the fuck she wanted to.
Basically.
Truth.
So So,
so good.
And she wrote 6 books, novels, Pride and Prejudice, Sense and Sensibility, Emma, Mansfield Park, Northanger Abbey, and Persuasion. And most of her storylines explore the dependence of women on marriage in the pursuit of favorable social standing and economic security. Her novels also critiqued what was popular at the time, which were novels of sentimental novels or novels of sensibility, which were basically all about emotion, like overwhelmed with emotion. I looked them up to see if there was a novel that maybe everyone would recognize to like understand, and I didn't.
Okay.
So yeah, anyways, and then she was part of the transition from those novels into 19th century literary realism. So she used a lot of biting irony, realism, humor, and social commentary, and that's why we love her so much.
Mm-hmm. And there's always a happy ending.
There's always a happy ending. It is the antithesis of Nicholas Sparks.
Yes.
Nicholas Sparks always has a tragic ending, and you're like, why the fuck did I ever read this book?
Mm-hmm.
And all of his characters are crying literally all of the time.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and like her kind of contemporary, Thomas Hardy, like all his books were like supposed to be like the whole realist. And like, did you guys ever read Tess of the D'Urbervilles?
Mm-mm.
I mean, I know.
Yeah, I know of it, but I never had to read it.
Ugh. I mean, it's great. His writing is great, but nobody is ever fucking happy.
I mean, it's the 1800s. Yeah. So that makes
like
sense.
It's legit, but it's realism to the point of like, I don't want to read this anymore because I'm trying to escape my life. Where, like, Jane Austen has some realism in it, I think, but you can still escape and have a happy ending.
Yeah.
The OG rom-com. Mm-hmm.
Basically.
The OG chick flick.
Yeah. And I was looking through about, like, being published. She did have to publish all of her books anonymously. And only 4 of the 6... sorry. Only 4 of the 6 novels were published before her death. In 1817, Persuasion and Northanger Abbey were published posthumously.
Oh.
And so because writing and being an author was not a woman's place, that's why she had to do it, publish them anonymously. But her brother was really helpful, and they had a friend who helped with publishing. And so she would sometimes, it looks like, all of her novels were published on commission, except for Pride and Prejudice, which was published, she sold the copyright.
Oh.
For that one, for $10 or £10.
Oh my gosh.
She sold it for £10? Yeah. Pounds? That's like $100 if even.
So, anyways.
That's crazy.
And then technically, I thought this was interesting. We always, anytime you ask someone to name something by Jane Austen, what are you going to say first?
Pride and Prejudice.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So she actually published Sense and Sensibility first. And like just knowing, I don't know. For some reason, I like that. The order in which the books were published.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like with Shakespeare, like everyone says Romeo and Juliet. But he's got so many other things. And some of them aren't even like, and it's like tragedies and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, like, technically one of his first plays is, like, Midsummer Night's Dream or something.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Which is interesting. Yeah, because now, listeners, my friends know this, but I don't read books.
Says the teacher.
I read fanfic. Shut the hell up. I read so much. I am a reader. I just, like, don't read books anymore. And, like, I have never read Sense and Sensibility, never read Pride and Prejudice. However, I've watched both of those movies, and I can totally see how Sense and Sensibility came first, because it is kind of mishy-mashy in its, like, plot and its character development, I would say. Mm-hmm. Wow, thanks for yawning.
I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry. Listen,
I thought it was quiet. I was trying to be so quiet.
You were so loud, and I hate you for it. I'm never speaking to you again. Rude! Anyway,
it's been a long day, guys.
So I think, clearly, Jesus Christ. So Sense and Sensibility feels a little bit more convoluted. Yeah. And the storytelling in, and like the plot points in Sense and Pride and Prejudice seem to hit in a more linear and more straightforward fashion. So it's kind of like, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Having read both of them, I would, and then obviously seen, I mean, I grew up, my listeners, my dad's favorite movie is Sense and Sensibility. Oh, like of all time.
Oh, it's so good.
It's one of his absolute favorites. So my entire life has consisted of watching Jane Austen movies. And so I've seen all of the versions. All of them.
Yeah.
And so I would definitely I would agree with that statement. I think she has perfected, by the time, like, she started with Sense and Sensibility, which is a great story. And then it's like she just fixed it, made mm-hmm. it even better by the time she got to Pride and Prejudice. And that's why, probably why everyone loves it so much.
Yeah.
But it's not my favorite. So leads us to the question. Do you have a favorite book, story? You don't have to have read it, but have seen it.
Okay. So I have read one.
Ooh.
Jane Austen.
Yeah.
And it is Northanger Abbey.
Oh, thank you for reading that one.
Like, that's the only one I've read. And it is just astounding. It is so great. I think it's so funny. I think his name is Mr. Tilney,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So Mr. Tilney is just, like, my ideal man. Mm-hmm. Like, tall, dark, mysterious, but also fucking hilarious.
Yeah, so funny.
He's a sassmaster. Seriously, like, out of all of the Austen heroes, I feel like Mr. Tilney is the only one that is, like, an actual human being. Like, uh-huh. All of the other ones are kind of, like, poofy or too broody or, and by poofy, I just mean, like, la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la- mean at all.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, just like a la-di-da kind of person, mm-hmm. like head in the clouds. Where and like Mr. Tony is like, if I met this person in real life, I would absolutely fall in love.
Yes.
Everybody else kind of is like a garbage human, mm-hmm. and Mr. Tony's awesome. And then I also really like the story of Northanger Abbey because it just pokes fun at like all of those romantic horror, gothic horror movie, like yeah. books that were super popular, like was it The Mask of Udolpho yeah. or something like that?
The Mysteries of Udolpho.
Oh yes, that's what it's called. Which
novels? Do you read the novels?
Is do you read novels? Like, are you allowed to read novels? I don't think it's good for one person to read so many novels.
It's so bad for a woman to have an imagination where she thinks of herself as a sexual being.
I know, because then she might actually enjoy sex, and oh dear, we're British, that can't happen.
Oh, no. So that's why I really like it, because it's so tongue-in-cheek, and I have just, like, I came across Northanger Abbey and read it at, like, a good point in my life for me to enjoy it, so that's why I really like it. Of course, I also really like Pride and Prejudice, but that's just because
you can breathe,
the movie.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Corey?
Persuasion.
Did you finish it?
I did. It's so good. Oh, and I love Captain Wentworth. So I feel about Captain Wentworth. And what's her face? Oh, dang it. Fanny?
Anne?
No. Nope.
Anne.
Dang it. The same that Mariah feels about Tilney. I feel like Captain Wentworth, he's truly like, he has these like this depth of feeling, and he's so mm-hmm. sad. And at first you could be like, oh my God, dude, what is your freaking problem? And then it's like, oh, the love of your life, like, broke your heart and you're trying to move on and just cannot.
Can you remind me what the fuck it's about? Because I feel like I knew once
so
upon a time.
So Persuasion is basically the story of a very sensible young woman whose family is utterly ridiculous. They are unable to control and manage their wealth. And so she has to, like, basically convince them to, like, hey, like, you need to, like, move to a small town home. Somewhere nearby would be great. But so, of course, they choose Bath because it's so posh. And they have to rent out the house. And they rent out the house to a naval couple. And they're, you know, older and he's retired. And it turns out that their nephew and her go very far back. Her brother. I swear I read the book.
I believe you. You knew they were related.
And basically it turns out that she and the brother were, like, in love when they were 19 and were going to get married. And then she was persuaded to choose differently for her life. So now she's 27 and unwed. And
oh, no.
Yes. She's so old.
A spinster.
But it's basically like,
oh no,
just this giant amount of emotional constipation and her trying to deal with her fucking family, and she's kind of like a total pushover and has to learn that the persuasion should come from herself, not others, and that she should not she should not follow what others think is good for you. And it's, I just love it because too, it's like, I feel like sometimes these romance novels in general, not just Jane Austen, but people like meet and fall in love in 2 weeks. And you're like, okay, right. But these people, like, they have a history.
Oh, sorry. <You're> good. I tried to sneeze as quiet as I could.
God bless you.
It hurt me. Thank you.
It sounded kind of like you were dying, so it's fine.
Yeah. It would have been, it's either like I'm dying or the loudest sneeze right in everybody's ears.
We appreciate you dying for the cause.
Yeah, no problem. Exactly. Follow my story.
But I just really love that there's like this whole argument that happens at this like dinner table with Anne. And so it's Wentworth, but then Wentworth has these guy friends, and his one friend has lost like the love of his life. And he's like, women are so fickle and men hold their emotions deeply. And she's like, excuse me, men are fickle and women hold their emotions deeply. But I just love it because it's like, no, see, everyone hurts and everyone can be heartbroken. And then, of course, it ends happily ever after. And she stands up to her ridiculous family. But yeah, that's Persuasion. The thing is, Jane Austen writes, okay, I highlighted a sentence from Persuasion. So I'm going to say my favorite line ever now. Are you ready?
Okay.
This is talking about her Anne's father. Vanity was the beginning and end of Sir Walter Elliot's character. Vanity of person and of situation.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's almost as good as my favorite line in basically all of literature, which is, his name was Eustace Scrubbs and he almost deserved it. Like, oh, C.S. Lewis.
Yes.
Like, so
yes.
Good.
Yep.
What a great description of character that Jane Austen
She's
has.
So
holy
good.
Moly.
Yeah. It is half of a sentence. Is a sentence, and then you understand completely now who you're about to read about.
Yeah.
I will. I'm gonna like out myself and be completely honest. I have never fully read a full Jane Austen until I just now read Persuasion, because I actually found it really hard to get through. The stories are great.
It is. It's so.
But weird. I found the Brontes and like Daphne du Maurier much easier to read.
Interesting.
And so, I mean, I've devoured every movie, but I know you don't want to talk about the movies this time around.
Well, that's not necessarily the plan. It's just, there's so much
yeah
when talking about the movies, and I didn't right. want to so turn much Jane into, Austen like, you know, 3 hour long podcast.
Right. And I think we can use the movies as like a jumping off point to like understand the stories, which yeah. that's what I'm going to do. But I'm not going to talk about like, oh, the performance of Keira Knightley. Like, that's yeah. not what we're no. here for. I really like the adaptation.
We can definitely do it again.
Yes.
And we can go all in on the movies because I have strong opinions about those too.
So yeah. Yeah.
It is definitely something we can do. So, what was your, prior to reading Persuasion, Corey, what was your favorite? Because you just read it.
I just read it. But honestly, Persuasion was still, I mean.
Was it?
Yeah. The version with the Sierra lady Hines. From, is that the lady who did Shape of Water?
Oh, no.
Who's the lady in Shape of Water?
Mariah.
That lady's woman, American. So I don't think, I don't know.
No, hold on. Shape of Water? She's not.
I, no, listen, just kidding. I just have kidding. Not seen.
Just kidding.
I have not seen The Shape of Water.
They
actually.
Look the same. Don't judge
Sally
me.
Sally Hawkins?
Yes.
Yeah, Sally Hawkins did Persuade.
Yeah, and she did Shape of Persuasion. Of Water. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she did do Shape of Water. Okay. Anyway,
I haven't seen either, so why did you ask me?
Anyway,
I have an encyclopedic knowledge of most things.
I don't know what's happening. Okay. Growing up, my mom, my sister, and I watched Sense and Sensibility with Alan Rickman and Emma Thompson. And it was.
Her name is Eleanor
Dashwood. Her name is Eleanor Dashwood. Okay, like legit, when Alan Rickman was cast as Snape
mm-hmm.
and he came on screen, I went, Mom, it's Colonel Brandon. And yeah. My mom had read the Harry Potter books and I hadn't read one yet, I think. And she just went, he's not Colonel Brandon. I'm just going to let you know now. And I was like, oh no. and then when Pride and Prejudice with Keira Knightley and Matthew McFadden came out, I was just like blown away. It's such a good story. But truthfully, like Persuasion, the story spoke to my heart the most.
Okay.
I love the unrequited love because, spoiler alert, I'm 30 and not married and have definitely had that.
You have no prospects and you already are a burden to your parents.
The only thing, no, I'm not a burden to my parents. I'm a I goddamn know. Delight.
I say it because I'm the same way. Every time, literally, it's so funny. My mom, like, every time I hang out with, like, one of my mom's friends' uh-huh. kids, they always are like, Mariah, all your mom talks about is the fact that you are not married. And I'm like, listen, not everyone can get married at 19 like my mother did. So I'm just mm-hmm. like, Jesus.
Not all of us want to.
Oh, my God. I know. I'm like, why? Okay, could you imagine marrying your high school boyfriend
well
at 19
yes
and then
yes.
staying with them for like 45 years
well no because he's
while
he's,
also working with them
ooh. I was gonna say I couldn't my parents he's gay now
seriously like I'm,
we would have been divorced
are different my parents are very different like props to them but like their story is unique
they're an anomaly
I don't know anybody like them. Anyway, we derailed.
It's all right. My favorite.
Oh, also, yeah.
The reason I was asking Corey, because I didn't know if she had had one previously, but my favorite is also Persuasion. But followed by Northanger Abbey. Like, if I had to list them in order, I would go Persuasion, Northanger Abbey, Pride and Prejudice, Sense and Sensibility, Mansfield Park. Emma.
I vaguely agree with this ranking.
Emma ranking. Is fourth. Fight me.
Well, see, here's the thing. So, and we'll get into this because we can talk about the Austen heroines in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
First, we're going to talk mm-hmm. about why I love Persuasion, and then we'll move on. So, I think I just watched it with my mom, but the 1995 version with Ciaran Hinds. And it's delightful.
Okay.
I think the main girl's name is Amanda Root or something like that. I don't know.
What
remember.
Are you talking
Persuasion.
About?
Mansfield.
Persuasion.
Okay. Okay. I was like, are we talking about Emma? I don't
know
what we're talking about.
No, but.
Oh, wait. I know this Emma version that... too. This Persuasion yeah. version. That lady's eyeballs scare me.
Okay. Well, it was the first one that I ever watched.
Okay.
And I'm watching it with my mom, and I read this book out loud to her over Thanksgiving break last year. We were on a road trip, and I'm like, it's short. And I brought it with me because I was rereading it because I love it to pieces. And she'd never read it. And so I was like, oh, I'll read it out loud. And then I know she had asked me then, but this time we're watching the movie. She's like, why do you like this movie? Or why do you like the story? Is it the book? Is it the movie? Like, what do you love? Because she's a mom and they ask a million questions.
Right.
And I think what I love is similar to what Corey loves about it, is that it's really like the point of it is learning about yourself and being able to recognize what you believe in and what you want and actually going after that.
Mm-hmm.
Because as someone who like is more withdrawn, I can often go with the flow and then like get what I want doesn't ever actually happen. And so I've always resonated with Anne Elliot, the character. I like spent the entire movie trying to figure out what her Enneagram number is because I'm me and this is what I'm doing, right?
Right.
And she's either a 5 or a 9. So if she's a 5, then she's me.
Right.
And this is why I've always loved her. But I really loved how they learned. And no, I would argue that Captain Wentworth did actually move on. But he didn't find someone else to love necessarily. He almost fell in love with Louisa Musgrove.
Right.
But then she did something stupid.
Yes.
And he was like, oh, okay, she's actually a child.
Right.
And then Anne stepped up because she's good in a crisis. And he was like, oh, hi. Actually, that's really attractive.
Yeah, he's like, oh, that's right. Oh, that's right.
This is another reason why I loved you, or I loved you. And it also has one of the most beautiful letters
yes.
ever written. Everyone's obsessed with Mr. Darcy's letter, and it has nothing on Frederick Wentworth's letter.
I absolutely
in Persuasion.
Yes. Now that I've read it, yeah. I mean, Mr. Darcy's great and all. Again, my comparison to, like, Romeo and Juliet, it's just, like, I understand why Pride and Prejudice is, like, the classic, kind of like Romeo and Juliet, but mm-hmm. Othello or Persuasion are much better.
Yeah.
Much better pieces.
Yeah. Okay. So, now we can talk about our favorite Austen heroines or female leads. I'll list them. People who don't know, we have Elizabeth or Lizzie Bennet from Pride and Prejudice. We have Anne Elliot from Persuasion, Emma from Emma.
Emma Woodhouse.
Emma Woodhouse. We have Fanny Price from Mansfield Park. We have Eleanor and Marianne from Sense and Sensibility. And we have Catherine Morland from Northanger Abbey. So. And if there's other side women that are, like, if you like Jane Bennet, I just didn't list her. But you know. All right, go ahead.
My favorite Austen heroine is Cher Horowitz from Clueless.
So, Emma. For other people who don't know, if you are today's years old and you didn't know that Clueless is a modern day portrayal of Emma, now you know.
That's why I like Emma so much, is because of Clueless. Like, Clueless is so funny, and I think that Emma is a really funny and hilarious, like, just it's a beautiful story uh-huh. of a woman who thinks she's all that only to realize that she ain't shit, but it's okay because Mr. Knightley loves her anyway.
So my big thing, the reason Emma is farther down is, one, it's Emma and Mansfield Park are the only two I haven't read. So I can't say for sure, like, maybe they would rank higher. But I hate, Emma's annoying. I think she's annoying.
Such a pain in the butt. I agree with you.
I was like, you're meddling into everyone's business. If you just back the fuck off, everything will be okay.
Oh my God.
But then there'd be no story.
Right. Right.
Right. And I understand that.
So,
but this is why I never, it wasn't until the 2020 Emma, which is perfection, that I actually liked Emma. Like, found her to be redeemable in any way, shape, or form.
I have not seen the new one.
oh my gosh.
But I it's will fun. Agree with you. Yeah.
It's yeah. So
listen, Clueless is a perfect movie. Emma is a pain yes. in the ass.
Emma and Cher are one in the same.
Oh, God.
She's just a virgin who can't drive.
Oh my God.
Let her be.
Like, truthfully, the worst thing Gwyneth Paltrow has ever done, besides the dumbass candles in her store, is her portrayal of Emma.
Wait, what?
You didn't know Gwyneth Paltrow was Emma?
Oh.
Maybe that's why you hate it so much.
It is the... No, I just... Honestly...
Well, no, because Mr. Knightley in that... Like, that's my... When I think of Mr. Knightley, I think of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Not Johnny Flynn, how dare.
Well, now I do. But, like, for the longest
time. Not Paul Rudd. Not Paul Rudd. How dare. That's my Mr. Knightley. Paul fucking Rudd.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Corey, I just, she's such a fucking nosy busybody, and she doesn't know shit about human character or emotions, and it legitimately drives me insane. Like, I cannot.
But.
Like, I want to just yell, feel like let it them really, be.
I feel let like it be. Really tracks for us as, like, people that obviously Mariah really loves Cher / Emma. Like, yes. it makes total sense.
Yeah.
And then it also makes total sense that Corey and I can't stand her.
Well, I see where my place is.
No.
And I see your true feelings love for me.
If we were all the same, the world would be boring.
I'm going to cry because you secretly hate me.
That is exactly what okay, I was Emma. Saying.
Okay, Emma. Slow your roll. Take a Xanax. Let's move on. Like,
oh my God. Ian McGregor is in this one?
Yes, he's Frank Churchill.
Which one is that again?
The bad one.
Okay, got
the
it.
The one who was like secretly in love or, you know, like engaged to that other girl.
Oh, he, yeah, okay, yeah. He's, but that's the one that's like a gay and Clueless, right?
Yes.
Got it.
Oh, yes.
Got it.
And he sings. So you could watch it and watch him sing.
So you can,
or you could watch Moulin Rouge and watch him sing, and it's infinitely better.
Yeah. Or I could just watch Star Wars and see him wield lightsabers.
But he doesn't sing.
I don't.
He
has
a beautiful voice.
I mean, yes.
I mean, yes. Right.
Whatever. Off track. Corey, who's your favorite Austin heroine?
So I don't know.
Okay.
Which I know does not track, but I truly like, I really actually love Charlotte. I understand Charlotte, her friend in Pride and Prejudice.
I have no income.
I'm
27.
Marries Mr. Collins.
Yes.
Love it.
And I very much love Margaret Dashwood in Sense and Sensibility, which I know none of these are main characters, but there's a part of me that, like, I don't always resonate with a main character because main characters are always supposed to be kind of polarizing because you either really love them or you really hate them, or they, like, they just are so stubborn you get sick of them, or they're so like flimsy that you get sick of them or whatever, versus like side characters sometimes have way more emotion and personality and are like way more fun and interesting. And so I don't always now, I mean, I fucking love Keira Knightley's portrayal of Elizabeth Bennet. But I actually, trying to read the book, Elizabeth Bennet drove me nuts.
Lizzie Bennet, okay, I have read Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. So... Which, in reality, is about 80% of the original text is in there. And then they took out slash edited or added another 20% to make it about ninjas and fighting zombies, which is how I could get through it. Let's be real. And, like, Lizzie in the book is, like, so annoying. But it's made better in that book. Because, you know, the proposal scene where he's like, I love you, despite the fact that you're poor and shit and that your parents are terrible or your whole family sucks. And she's like, oh, really? Well, you are the worst in all of the other adaptations. In Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, she roundhouse kicks him to the face.
Excellent.
It's
so good. Oh man! But apparently they made a movie out of it, and Lily James.
Yes,
is in it.
Yes, they did. And Matt Smith.
Maybe we should watch that.
Matt Smith is Mr. Collins. Yeah.
So good.
So sorry, I don't really have an answer for you. I wish I did, but I think too, like, the thing with Jane Austen is it's that, you know, it's the happy ending, whatever. Like, I don't always focus on the heroine because you're like, okay, fine, whatever. Like, where's the hot guy?
Mm-hmm. Excellent segue. Who is your favorite Austen man? I wrote down the main gentleman if you need a refresher.
Yes, do it. Okay. Do the refresher for our podcasting audience who might not know who's who.
Okay. So for Pride and Prejudice, we have Mr. Darcy and Mr. Bingley. There are other men, but I'm not listing them. For Sense and Sensibility, we have Edward Ferris. Uh-huh. I never remember how to pronounce his last name.
Edward Ferris, yeah.
And Colonel Brandon. For Emma, we have Mr. Knightley. Persuasion, we have Captain Wentworth. Mansfield Park, we have Edmund something. And for Northanger Abbey, we have Mr. Tilney.
So,
and it doesn't have to be one of them. I prefer if it wasn't Paul Rudd.
Great. So,
because we know he's everyone's
mine
favorite.
Mine is Mr. Henry Nobley from the unknown Austen land.
Yeah.
Oh, good lord.
That's not a.
You just think J.J. Field is hot.
Listen, I love Henry Nobley.
Is she wrong?
He's a history teacher. Wrong? He's literally a professor. Who cannot get over his emotional constipation with his life cheating on him.
Aw, but that's not an Austen book.
Okay, fine. So, Colonel Brandon and Captain Wentworth. Those are my two favorite. Sarah's dying. She's like, snap!
This is like my attempt, guys, listeners, at making this podcast not so long by separating the two isn't really going well.
Listen.
So that's more so if I'm dying. Continue.
Our poor little five is having a lot of trouble. Reeling this in. This is what you get when you pick something that the normal quote-unquote host doesn't know shit about.
Now, if you had picked, and maybe I'm going to make y'all do this, Charlotte Bronte or the Brontes.
No, I'm not. I'm really not going to know. I'm really, truly not going to know anything.
I know, but I could talk about Jane Eyre forever. Wait.
Cool. So this will stop being the Drive Time Pod and it'll just be Corey's podcast again.
Charlotte wrote Rude. Charlotte wrote Jane Eyre. Okay.
My favorite when it comes to who I would actually be like, oh, that's a good band, I'd very much like to commit marriage, that is Mr. Tilney.
Excellent.
However, I do love an emotionally constipated bitch of a man who argues with a woman only to realize that she's correct and then apologize profusely many times, which is why I also love Mr. Darcy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
I love a bitch of a man. for drama. In real life, God no. But in works of fiction, I'm like, this is juicy.
Oh yeah, no. Like, there's an entire book called Me and Mr. Darcy that proves that point. That, like, Darcy is great in fiction, and in reality, you'd want to shoot yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. Actually, my roommates are having a conversation about that. Like, because they were watching New Girl, and one of the things that they say is that, you know, nobody wants a sad man. And, like, you know, one of the characters refutes that. And then my male roommate goes, that's a thing that women want, sad men. And my other roommate is his partner, and we were just like, yeah, Mr. Darcy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
I can't relate in real life, but I get it.
Like, yes. Well, like, I think some people would say, this is just me thinking, but not necessarily accurate, I would maybe argue that Fitzwilliam Darcy is a 4-wing 5 or a 5-wing 4.
Oh, absolutely.
Which makes so much sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if we want to do Enneagrams, I found them.
Oh!
Did you?
I did.
Oh my gosh.
You know, because I don't know anything else, but you know what? I can do research if I really want to. And I did this time.
Yay!
So if you want that, I have it ready to go when you're ready.
All right. My favorite Austin man is Mr. Knightley, actually.
Yes.
But I ultimately love all of them.
Right, because there's something about
almost
all of it, right?
Equally. But if I had to, like, choose one that I would get together with tomorrow, it would be Mr. Knightley. I just love him.
He's so great.
He's so great.
You just didn't want me to say Paul Rudd because you wanted Paul Rudd. I see. I see how it is, Sarah.
Well, no, because... You know what? Just tell us about the Enneagram and Jane Austen.
All right. So type one, the perfectionist or the reformer, Eleanor Dashwood.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Type two, the helper,
mm-hmm.
Emma Woodhouse. Which
is... Nope. No.
She is trying
she
to
is
help.
An eight.
She's trying
she
to
is
help.
An eight. Emma is an eight.
She loves to be needed.
Emma is an eight.
All she wants is to be needed and loved.
Emma is an eight.
Type three, there are no heroines attached to a three, but there's a bunch of dudes, which is great for me. We have Mr. Weston, Frank Churchill.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, so it's just those two, I think. Frank Churchill and Mr. Weston.
Okay.
Which I'm like, how come? It's just so upsetting. Like, almost in every single piece of media, the threes are like the bad, like they're just like not good people. And I'm like, what?
I think
it makes
I
me
think
mad.
Frank Churchill isn't a bad. I don't think Frank Churchill is a bad person. I think he's hot, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great. So you're hot. So
thanks.
There you go. We're just going to say threes are always hot.
I love it.
I do have a theory, not related to Jane Austen, but all of my three friends always look so damn good. And I'm like, can you stop it? Please.
It's because we're very image conscious.
I know. But it's very frustrating for someone who doesn't care to then stand next to you and feel like, all right, cool. I'm wearing jeans and a t-shirt. You're wearing jeans and a t-shirt. You look hot and I look frumpy.
You do not.
This is excellent.
You do not. We just are obsessively looking at ourselves and checking our angles, and it's a burden and it's terrible. This is why we all have image issues as well. Anyway, type 4, Marianne.
Mm-hmm.
Type 5, Fanny Price, Mr. Darcy.
Okay.
Types.
I don't know about Fanny Price being a 5, but that's interesting.
Sitting back, observing, analyzing, and seeing what others do not.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue that she's maybe a 9 instead.
There.
But 9s and 5s can be very similar. It's they're withdrawn types, and they're observant, you know? So unless you know their true motivations about why they do things, which you're not going to know because they're fictional characters, right, you can't say for sure.
Mm-hmm. But this type 6, unhealthy 6, Mrs. Bennett. healthy 6, Colonel Brandon.
Yay! He's my buddy! And Mrs. Bennett, that totally makes sense.
I love Mrs. Mm-hmm. Bennett. She's hilariously annoying.
Oh, I love her so much.
Type 7, Elizabeth Bennett.
Okay. Interesting.
Interesting. Then we also have Mr. Bingley, and as an unhealthy 7, uh-huh, Lydia Bennett.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I would say that Lizzie, I don't think she's... I think that, mm-hmm, Lizzie's more of like a... Like,
she's more of like an 8. Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I feel like I just, like, don't know. What were you thinking? I was thinking she was more like a 6-wing 7, maybe?
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. Because, like, but, you know, I also know very little about the Enneagram. You are the expert. Anyway, type 8, Lady Catherine de Bourgh, yeah, is an unhealthy 8. Captain Wentworth is a healthy 8. And then we have Jane Bennett and Anne Elliot as 9s.
Okay.
Here's the thing.
At first, I thought you were saying that Anne Elliot was an 8, and I was about to have a conniption and be like, I don't trust whoever wrote this, yeah, because that's wrong.
Yeah. I do not agree with Catherine de Bourgh. She is not a challenger. She...
What do you mean?
No. She's not an 8. She's not a challenger. I think she's like a... Who's the most selfish? She.
She's an unhealthy. So she's an unhealthy.
But all she, right, is privileged. So... She doesn't challenge shit. She's just highly privileged.
Well, that's not necessarily what it is. 8s, I have so many in my life. They're not. And then I go to 8 in health. So they're called the challenger because they usually won't take something at face value. They're going to question it. They have issues with control. They like to be the ones, mm-hmm, in control.
That's what I was thinking.
Okay.
They often can steamroll you. They're extremely aggressive and dominant, especially if they're unhealthy. They come across this way. But in health, 8s go to 2s. So, like,
so she is an unhealthy 8.
I could say she is an 8. I could also see her as a 1. Perfectionist.
That's what I was thinking.
Like, that's just not how it's done. I could also see her as a 6.
Okay.
So, you know, this is where it gets so hard with fictional characters. Right. And this is why I sat there for the entire 2-hour-long movie. And I'm like, because I think Frederick Wentworth, I thought he was a 4. Like, a 4-wing 5. But I could see an 8. You know, so it's like, it's, you just, it, you can, mm-hmm, never tell. 100%.
What is Mr. Tilney? Then, that's what I want to know.
Mr. Tilney?
So I know who to look for, you know?
Yes! Exactly. See, so, that's why I like Colonel Brandon. I'm looking for that sugar daddy.
Exactly. So Tilney is teasing, kind-hearted, he's nice, he has knowledge of cool things. He's the least masculine of heroes. Wow, this really fits in with my type. Holy shit. I don't know if you all know about my type in men. It is the extremes. They are either the least masculine,
mm-hmm,
like Mr. Tilney, or they are
take me to your quarters, Daddy Ren. So, like, literally, like, choke me out with the force. Thank you. Like, those are the two extremes. Nothing in between.
I would propose that he's a 9.
This checks out.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because they go to 6s in stress and 3s in health. So.
Interesting.
That makes the most sense. But I would also, I could see a 2. Like a 2-wing 3. Maybe. Kind of a thing.
It's like he's my mirror. Oh, my master. Oh man,
all right, we're doing real great here. Let's see. Okay, now for the listeners, there's an additional Jane Austen novel. I'm putting quotes around Jane Austen novel. It's called Sanditon.
The other Jane Austen novel I've read, because Sarah read it to me.
Yeah, Sarah read it to us.
Story for the listeners. For Christmas, I received a book from my sister called Sanditon. And it's like based off of Jane Austen. And it's a series on PBS or BBC or whatever. And so I started reading it out loud for Mariah and Corey during quarantine. And I found out that it was actually made into a TV show. And then from there, they made it into a book.
Which is such a weird transition.
Like, why wouldn't you write the novel first and then make it in? Mm-hmm. But it's Andrew Davies and he does whatever the heck he wants. Because he's done almost all of the BBC Austen movies he did. Like the 2008. Those ones.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He did almost all of them. Okay. So, but my main question is, I mean, we can talk about it, like what the story is and everything, but the question to ask is it? Would you consider it to be Jane Austen?
It's Jane Austen fan fiction.
Yeah, absolutely not Jane Austen.
Like it's based on an idea that Jane Austen had, mm-hmm. and it's based on this unfinished manuscript. But you know what makes it fan fiction? The ending.
Yes.
What was that? Excuse me?
I don't know. I read it first and I was like, guys, I have feelings.
Which is very strange for you.
I hate it.
I mean, I think the ending was total bullshit.
It was garbage. I was like,
because as we discussed in the beginning, the reason you read or watch Jane Austen movies and read their books is because it has a happy ending. And spoiler alert, everyone, Sanditon does not have a happy ending. It has a mediocre at best ending, with some people being minorly happy and other people being whatever. And you're just like, what the fuck did I just sit through?
Yeah.
And they didn't get together. Like, what did I just put all this effort into listening for? If.
Oh, I know.
If, like. And, like, that's the thing, is that, like, I can't even remember what his name is. It makes me sad.
Sydney. I just want to call him Theo.
Sydney Parker?
Thank you. I was like, what the fuck is his name? Sydney Parker.
Theo James.
Because there's so many Mr. Parkers, it was really hard to keep track of them. Uh-huh. But Mr. Sydney Parker.
There was a lot.
And then the main girl's name starts with an M, right? Mark? No.
No.
What was her?
Catherine? Hold on.
Like, it makes me mad that I don't remember her name.
And this is going to sound real prudish, but there was weird sex stuff in it.
There was weird sex stuff in it, huh?
Charlotte!
Yeah.
Charlotte, that's what her name is.
But, like, there was people who, like, they slept together and they talked about how they slept together and then they were going to, like, cheat somebody. And, like, that's just not Jane Austen.
No, and it was a very weird incest.
Yeah,
there was like some weird incest. Not like an incest in the way that I don't like, which is I've had this conversation with many people. Maybe I've said it on this podcast, but it's like, if you were to get married and then find out that you are long lost blood related, that's gross, but you didn't grow up together. So it's like, you can divorce and like go your separate ways and it's fine.
Right.
It's a little gross, but it's fine. Like you can like live your life with that. Like I just didn't know them. These two are literally step siblings. They are not blood related. And like they are like, I'm Debbie Ryaning, which is like putting my finger behind my ear and like holding my jaw. It's just like a thing that the Gen Z's do. Anyway, and I'm just, they were just like so incestuous and weird. And I was like, but your brother and sister, you literally don't even call each other by each other's names like a normal brother and sister. You're like brother, sister. And then you're like thinking about how you're going to bone each other. And it's super weird. And I don't like that.
Yeah.
Like that's not very Jane Austen.
Well, and that's why I really like that you said it's fan fiction, because when you say that, it's legit. That's legit.
Yeah.
It is, because fan fiction always has more sex. Well, almost always has more sex than the original thing. I see you, Dramini. And
yes, good.
and it always like it ends either weird or how somebody would think it would. And I think Sarah, when it ended, we were all like, "What the actual fuck?" And you said that the people who wrote it were like, "Well, we tried to put a modern spin on it," and we were like, "No,
no."
Well, yeah, and they were hoping for a season two where then they would be able to get them together. Like, they'd somehow pull something out of their butts and, like, make it to where they could end up together, right? And I'm like, I don't understand how you'd be able to do that, first of all, unless, like, death.
I was going to say, that chick has to die. The chick he's going to marry.
Or someone spontaneously has to get rich and give the other Parker brother, the one trying to build Sanditon, money. Like, something has got to give, and it would take something extremely drastic. But I'm like, but they didn't get, there weren't enough views to warrant a second season, probably because of the ending.
I was going to say, they screwed themselves over.
Yeah.
Because it's not a Jane Austen. And you shouldn't peddle it as Sanditon by Jane Austen.
No, which they do.
They absolutely do.
Like, the book itself says it. And I'm like, so I go into it thinking that it's, they wrote the book and then made the TV show out of it, which would be more believable.
Right.
You know, as a Jane Austen, if it was written first and then made into a movie, but because they're making, or a TV show, but because they're making it for a TV show, they're going to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
That being said, I did enjoy the story.
It was good.
Until the end.
It was really good. Until the end.
Like, my favorite part was Miss Georgiana Lamb.
Oh, she
was
so good.
She was so rad. I'm like, this is the one thing that's missing from Jane Austen is people of color.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the coolest thing. And how she was just, like, talking shit about everybody, being like, oh, like, because I'm from the Caribbean, you think I can't speak proper English? Get wrecked. Uh-huh. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Oh, she's so cool.
Yep. She's great.
Oh, and all that kidnapping stuff was, like, really weird.
It was super weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Every single time I, like, released an episode, I'm like, and the drama increases. And the drama increases. Like, the plot thickens. And I swear I said this last time, but the plot thickened again. Like, literally every time I was like, something insane happens. And I'm like, what the heck, man?
And it is insane.
Yeah. Which is also not Jane Austen. Like she has like major occurrences where the drama happens. But it's not like continual and constant. That's a very like soap opera-y 21st century take.
Yeah, Sanditon suffers from Game of Thrones syndrome.
almost,
like literally everything in media these days suffers from Game of Thrones syndrome, where it all has to be gritty realism, and nobody has a happy ending. It's, everything is real. I'm like, fuck you.
Which is why Give me my Jane Austen
with a fucking happy ending, enemies to lovers, or finding yourself narrative that ends with everyone being okay, even though it's like one specific piece of society. And it's like just give me that, please.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to escape. I don't want to like leave my gritty ass terrible real life and watch something gritty terrible on TV.
And people who do that are masochists. And I'm just different. And I want something else.
Yes.
My soapbox is over.
Thank you. It was a good soapbox.
Wonderful. I loved it.
So, Sarah, here's my next question for you. Speaking of Austin, non-Austin, what is Lady Susan? Because it is included in this giant anthology you gave me to read.
It is.
But it's not listed, like, you didn't list it as her main novels. So, what is it?
So, Lady Susan,
if you know.
I just saw something about it. I know it's, oh my gosh, I lost it. So it's a short epistolary novel.
Oh my god!
So yeah. It was three volumes of juvenile writings and manuscript. Or no, she left behind three volumes of juvenile writings and manuscript, a short epistolary novel, Lady Susan, and another unfinished novel, The Watsons. So I think because it's a completely different style is why people don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Are you telling me that Jane Austen wrote Twitfix?
She did. She invented the Twitfix.
She
didn't invent it.
No, she didn't. It was around beforehand. And before we called it Twitfic, it was called
an epistolary novel. Yeah.
Yeah. You wrote letters. So the Lady Susan is a series of letters that's telling the story. And I do believe
it's 41 letters.
And then,
and it's just at the very end. I think it got
turned into Love and Friend. Is Love and Friendship Lady Susan? Does anyone know?
Oh. Yeah, it is. Love and Friendship, film starring Kate Beckinsale.
Yep, I saw that.
Chloe Sevigny
is Lady Susan.
Oh.
Okay.
So. I love Kate Beckinsale, though.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing that and hating it, so I'd really like to rewatch. I mean, I was like 16, so it's been years.
It came out in 2016. Oh.
So you were not 16.
So maybe I just grabbed the book at the library. 2016? No, something had, because when I used to work at a library, and I remember grabbing Love and Friendship, and it said a Jane Austen novel, and then I hated it. So who knows?
Fascinating. All right. So I guess if we want to, we can talk about spin-off novels. I don't know if you've... I mean, we know that Mariah has read one, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
So great.
And then I've read several.
Me and Mr. Darcy. Not all.
Me and Mr. Darcy, which is great.
I've kind of poked my head around A Death Comes to Pemberley.
Yes, nice. I've read, I flippin' love that miniseries. It's so good. Pemberley is a spinoff. It's basically part two of Pride and Prejudice.
Oh yeah, you told me that. Mm-hmm.
Wait, is Pemberley like Midnight Sun for Pride and Prejudice?
No, it's
No, if you want Midnight Sun, it's called Mr. Darcy's Diary. And I've read it.
No, Pemberley is after they get married and how Elizabeth handles living at Pemberley.
I see.
And it's fine. The thing I will say after listening to Sanditon is that the lady who wrote Pemberley truly tried to write like Austen. Mm. So it is not totally horrible. It's just, you know, it's fine. But it's better than Sanditon.
Yeah. All right, then. Let's see. Yeah, so there's Mr. Darcy's Diary. There's also Mr. Knightley's Diary, which is Emma from Mr. Knightley's perspective. I've also read every novel as a modern-day Christian version.
What?
I grew up in church. Shocking, I know. Austin Land, and I'm sure Corey... Have you read Austin Land or just seen the movie?
No, just seen the movie.
Oh, we need to read it.
I didn't actually know it was a book until you guys said it like a couple weeks ago. And I was like, oh, I should get my act together.
Yeah.
I haven't read it.
I do love Austin Land.
Then you should read the book.
Okay.
It's probably very similar. And then...
There's Lost in Austin.
There is Lost in Austin. And then there's also Jane Austen Book Club.
Which is a great novel
and a movie.
I've only seen the movie, but I really liked it. I think I saw it twice in theaters.
I just rewatched it. Oh, so good.
It's just like a bunch of old white ladies.
I've never.
So basically,
having a midlife crisis. Have you even read?
Have you? Yes. Have you seen it, Corey?
Nope.
Oh, okay. It's so great.
Then let me tell you about the Jane Austen Book
Club.
Basically, it's a group of friends that live in Northern California, and one of them, her dog dies, and she like raises them, total dog mom. And so it's very sad. And then, so they're like trying to think of something to cheer her up. So they're like, oh, well, let's do a book club, but everyone's super busy. So let's only do books we've read before. And what have we all read? Jane Austen.
Oh.
And so then there's six people and each person chooses a book to host and it's once a month. And so like, three of them are friends already, and then one of them, her daughter joins, so that's four. One of the ladies invites this other random girl that she meets named Prudy, and then one of the other ladies invites a guy named Grig, who's played by Hugh Dancy.
Oh, yes, yes. I remember the commercials.
Yeah, and I like it because the novel that they choose is usually like who they are, like their character is reflected in that. So, like for example, one of the main girls who her dog died, she chooses Emma, and she's trying to set up her friend who's getting a divorce with Grig, who's like, actually, I'm interested in you. It's very interesting and entertaining, and there's a lot of different. My mom has a favorite love. So her favorite story is the girl who chooses Persuasion, because she like almost cheats on her husband and then doesn't. And there's this story of redemption, like in Persuasion. And my mom really loves it. It's a good movie.
I love it.
It's a good book.
Okay,
I've read it all. If it was associated with Jane Austen, high likelihood I read it. You know,
yep.
Obsessive tendencies.
I get that.
Normal.
Absolutely.
All right. I don't have anything else about Jane Austen besides the fact that I love it. Does anyone have anything they would like to say?
I mean, I feel like we forgot the glaringly obvious Jane Austen adaptation of Pride and Prejudice, which is the Star Wars sequel trilogy. We love it.
I thought you were going to say Pride and Prejudice, the Bollywood version, and I just was not prepared for Star Wars.
Listen, everything has to do with Star Wars. I have nothing else.
Well, excellent. I think the only thing, like, for me, even though, like, I've stated I find her books difficult to read, I think that's much more of a modern issue. It's her books are super light and happy, I guess, but they are easy to read. And the thing with Jane is that she totally like was kind of like, fuck the system, I'm gonna figure this out on my own. And mm-hmm. I think that's also, it's like Jane Austen as herself, not just the persona who writes books, but Jane Austen herself is such a great role model for women. Especially like privileged white ladies who couldn't do shit. Like she literally was sitting like at home, like, I can't work. I can't, you know, like there's nothing I can do to make my own money. So what happens, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. I really, really love Jane Austen as a human as well. Well, what are we loving this week? Let's start there.
What are we loving this week? Okay.
And
well, then Corey, you answer that first.
Oh no!
I already called you out, so you have to do it now.
Okay. So I maybe have talked about this before, but I'm very obsessed with Louise Penny. She is a Canadian author who writes murder mysteries based in like this tiny little Quebec town outside of Montreal. But the thing is, like, you kind of forget that murder happens because she'll like talk about the food, and the little town has like really fun, eccentric characters, and they're just great. So I've been literally like trying to plow through some of her books. She has 15 books in a series called Inspector Gamache, and I'm on book 3, and they're just great. I really, really love it. I love Louise Penny. I love that.
Wonderful. And Mariah?
I am loving the Spider-Man video game. I don't think I talked about it last week because I don't think I'd started playing it, but it is just like I love playing Jedi Fallen Order. It's like where you get to be a Jedi, you get to be Spider-Man.
Yes.
And Spider-Man is like not necessarily my favorite superhero. Like, he's got too many movies, but there is nothing like web zipping through the canyons of New York City lovingly and detailed, like and rendered beautifully. Like, it is so accurate. There's lots of little side quests that your girl can do because she's very bad at fighting people.
Yay.
But there, it's really fun to just like shoot up in the air and like, you know, take out bad guys and like stop time. It's really fun. Yeah, that's why I'm really loving this week.
Nice.
Oh, now I have to say.
Yes, that's you now.
Duh.
2020's going real great, huh?
Yeah, I've had a great week.
Are you loving your promotion?
I did. I got a promotion.
There we go.
I haven't really done anything like for it, but I did get an office.
Yay!
I'm loving my office. Yay! So now I can shut everyone out. It's so great.
Our sweet little five can now isolate herself at work.
More so than normal. It's usually just her in the office because of a pandemic.
Right. But now you have a door you can close and you can light your candles. I'm so jealous.
Yes. And I got a Himalayan salt lamp yesterday. Put that in today. Yeah.
Nice.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, Corey, what are we talking about next week?
Okay. We're going to be talking about historical figures.
Part two.
Again. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be some like rules to it, and we're going to be very picky about how we talk about these. So we'll get into it more next week.
Excellent. Yay. Well, thank you so much for listening to the Drive Time Pod. We are a completely listener supported podcast because we make no money. So give us some. If you would like to talk some more Austin to us, Sarah will for sure get back to you.
For sure.
At thedrivetimepod@gmail.com. You can drop a like on our Instagram at thedrivetimepod, or you can favorite us on the Anchor app and you can leave us a voicemail. Yay! Telling us how much you love us, because we live for the applause. I'm like a fairy. I need validation. Other than that, episodes drop every week. Thank you so much for listening to our deep dive into Austin Land. Go find yourself a Tilney or a Lizzie or a Colonel Brandon, mm-hmm, or Captain Wentworth, mm-hmm, or a Eleanor Dashwood, whatever you want.
But please, no Mr. Collins.
Please don't. Or the other one from Pride and Prejudice.
Wickham. We forgot to talk about them. We're going to have to do another episode, guys.
Bye!
Bye!
Bye!